Truck Chat Freestyle for Tuesday, September 3rd. Not officially part of the Dog Days of Podcasting, but, I'm going to say this is just because we couldn't end with the Friday night wrap-up with everybody at the West End, although that was a nice wrap-up. Had a lot of fun with everybody. But there was so much more to Dragon Con Saturday, Sunday, and Monday that I thought I'd just bring you up to speed and let you know what we're up to now that we're back in the regular rhythms of real life. Had a lot of fun. Saturday morning was our parade. They changed the route a little bit because there was some construction going on. They're installing a trolley system of some type on Peachtree. So there were orange barrels and trenches and fresh laid asphalt and things all over the place. So wouldn't have made a very good parade route. So they started from the other end and kind of snaked around and through and up and down and made more of an S pattern, ending up at the Marriott. So we started staged north, kind of northeast of the Peachtree, the Westin Peachtree. You can find the Westin on just about any picture of Atlanta because it's the big cylindrical building. Everything else has more or less right angles. But there's only one building that looks like the Westin, and it's easy to spot. So we started there, went and staged it northwest, started heading east, and then came around up Peachtree, and then turned right before our hotel, which is really nice because in the past, the crowds have been lined up right in front of our hotel, and it makes it darn near impossible to get back to your room afterwards. And once again, it was hot and muggy. Not as bad as last year, but pert near close. So we snaked through and ended up at the Marriott, and Craig and I and Clinton went as Men in Black. Clinton did an awesome job as Edgar with his overalls and his gun and his oversized postcard asking the crowd, "Have you seen this place?" Trying to get people there, and he had the walk down and the talk down, did a really good job. Friday afternoon, I think, we met two more Men in Black guys who were there for the first time from Orlando. And asked them if they wanted to be in the parade. And they were first-timers, so they didn't know anything about the parade. So I said, meet me on the steps of the Westin at 8:30 a.m. Saturday morning, we'll get you a wristband. Because you need a wristband, so to, more or less. I don't know if anybody ever checked it. But I had a couple extra and offered it to them. Sure enough, Lisa and Craig and I got up a little early to avoid the whole traffic jam in the elevators that we had last year with Julie, and got up, went and got some coffee and some bagels and whatnot, and met the gentleman right there on the steps. Talked to a nice guy dressed up as a cavalry guy. I think it was General Custer. Dan, if I remember his name, at the Starbucks. And we were walking and talking with him. And yeah, there were the two Men in Black guys that we saw from Orlando, Florida, on the steps of the Westin, gave them the wristbands, and we walked them to the staging area. Lisa marched separately. She did Adventure Time. She was Finn, and she also bought a BMO skirt kind of thing from the vendor rooms the day before. So at first she started out as sort of this amalgam. She had her Finn hat on, her BMO skirt. She was carrying Jake. I don't know what else she had, but she was a whole bunch of characters rolled into one. But when she got to the staging area, she unpacked her backpack and went right into Finn, because there were other characters there as well. At first, there weren't. They said, "Where's Adventure Time lining up?" And they said, "Right here on the corner." And there was nobody around. So she came and stood with us for a while. And then I walked her up, and we found some others that she got to hang out with for a while. Very proud of her, because she does have a little bit of anxiety. So being 17 on your own, sometimes it's a cool thing, sometimes it's not. She was very wonderful, and caught up with her at the end of the parade with all her friends, got a nice group picture of, all the characters from Adventure Time, and the kids were having a lot of fun. As we marched, Clinton and Craig and all the other Men in Black guys were doing their shtick, and I walked alongside the vehicle with the Noisy Cricket. The vehicle we had last year, those people showed up at the last minute. So we did have a car to walk next to, and they stuck Jar Jar out the window again. And I walked next to it with my Noisy Cricket up to Jar Jar's head, asking people, should I pull the trigger? And most people said yes, and a few people said thank you, and a few roared in excitement, and a few kids said, no, don't do it. But it was all in fun. And then they were happy to see Lisa doing her Adventure Time stuff, and all the Adventure Time crowd, probably about 5 minutes behind us. Parade route was a little longer this year. I think it was 0.8 miles, or in the past it's been, probably just shy of that. I'd say 6 or 7. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. It just felt longer this year. Maybe it was because it was hot again. Saturday, we also went to the vendor room, went with Lisa. We took a look around. Lots and lots and lots of steampunk stuff. Wow, beautiful things. Fairly pricey, though. I think Lisa picked up a couple of things. I tried to keep my hands, my money in my wallet and my hands free, so that if I had to carry anything of hers, we could. But it did give us some ideas for next year's Dragon Con. Craig and I are thinking about changing costumes, hopefully something a little cooler. Think about maybe Beavis and Butthead. They wear shorts, right? Lots of ideas going around. Possibly Jedi, possibly Sith, although that's robes, and robes aren't going to be cool in Atlanta. We also, Clinton and Craig and I also did another recording of Star Trek, kind of an annual tradition. We took the Paradise Syndrome, where, you know, Kirk loses his memory and hooks up with a Native American girl. And, I am Kirok. I'm sure you Star Trek people, even if you don't watch that, will remember that one as one of those more classic Star Trek episodes. We had a lot of fun doing that. It got a little late. We were hoping to get to Tom Smith's concert at 10, but we were recording until about 10:30, so that kind of blew apart. But we did get to see him Sunday at the Parsecs, which I'll talk about in just a little bit. We also went to the top of the Westin. They have a rotating restaurant called the Sundial Restaurant, and had a couple of desserts up there. So in the past, I've spent a lot of time going to various panels and tracks and hanging out at the podcast room. And I know Lisa doesn't really care for podcasting. She was very nice and cordial around my friends, but they're not her friends. So, I mean, they engaged her in conversation and whatnot, and she did a good job. But I wanted to spend more time doing what she wanted to do. So we did the vendor rooms a couple times. We did the Sundial Restaurant. Sunday, we went to a nearby Ferris wheel that's just across from Centennial Park. So we did more sightseeing kind of stuff. And she seemed to enjoy that. We had a good vacation. It was a vacation for her. Unlike, in the past when I'd gone, it was a nerd fest. And Julie participated in a lot of that stuff because she is part of the podcasting scene. People know her. And Lisa did not show up for the Parsecs. We thought we were going to be a little delayed because Sunday turned in from a beautiful day. We were on the Ferris wheel, and then we could hear thunder just to the north. This line of storms was moving west to east, but slowly drifting south, and it was going to engulf Atlanta. So we went and got some lunch about 2 blocks away, and while we were there, it just came down in buckets, and it lasted for about an hour. And the service was kind of slow. The guy would bring us our food and then not check on us again to see if we wanted more water or another beer or whatever. And the storm was starting to let up. We'd been there at least an hour and a half and hadn't seen this guy in 30, 45 minutes, our waiter, server, and had to ask for the check. I thought maybe the guy left or his shift was over or something. So we got that and hoofed it back to the hotel a few blocks in the light rain. It wasn't too bad, but I tucked my iPad up under the jacket. Or under my shirt, excuse me. Didn't have any jacket. It was Atlanta, and it was warm. And then Craig and I worked on our script for the Parsec Awards. When we got to the Parsecs at about 5:15, Lisa did not want to join us. Originally, she said she'd help out, passing out awards or something, but opted out of that. No big deal. Susie Murph was in a tailspin. I don't think I've ever seen her more more disjointed, more excited. The plans that she had made for, you know, what presenters and what order and who's doing what kind of blew up in her face at the last minute. So she handled it very well. She said, "Hey, you guys might have to do this, and can I ask you to do that?" 1,000 things happening all at once, and she did a great job. Her and the entire Parsec committee did a great job with that. We were stunned, really, to see that Sylvester McCoy, you know, one of the old Doctor Who's, and Radagast from The Hobbit, he was there, and he was going to be doing a couple presentations. So they had to shift some order around. He presented with Tom Merritt, and they did a wonderful job. Sylvester is I shook his hand and just said thank you before the ceremony started, you know, just saying, "It's great to see you. Thanks for all your hard work. Enjoy it. Huge fan." Because, you know, most people, like recognition, even if it's personal or public. Some people like public recognition, not everybody. Just to go up and say, "Hi, I did that at the Walk of Fame. I wasn't out to get a whole lot of pictures, but I did that to some people at the Walk of Fame who didn't have the biggest lines, whom I knew from what shows and books and things that they do." And I walked around. I walked up to Ed Asner. I said, "How you doing? Love your work. Enjoy your comedy bits on Betty White's latest show. Been a fan way back to the Mary Tyler Moore days." And, he was appreciative. And then I did that to a few more people, John Barrowman. And then I went around to the other side of the Walk of Fame, and I saw the three Farscape actors who were there. And I remembered, I totally forgot I was going to do this. Guy from nearby, one of my former coworkers, loaned me his Farscape DVDs when Netflix pulled them off last, what was it, February or so. And I still got to finish up season 4. But Anthony Simcoe was there. He obviously wasn't dressed up as Cardargo, but nice guy, really nice guy. A lot softer voice than he does in the show. And I said, "I'd like to get a picture," and he signed it. He said, "Who should it go to?" I said, "You got to sign this to Mark. He loaned me the DVDs." And he signed the picture, and I paid for that. And I said, "Well, what are you up to these days?" And he said, "I do leadership consultation." I said, "Oh, no kidding." I said, "I have an opportunity for you because our organization is growing very rapidly." Gave him my business card, not my personal card, but my business card. And he said somebody would reach out to us and get in touch with that. So who knows, I might be doing leadership training with Cod Dargo from Farscape. That'd be funny if this turned into something. So I reached out to our internal enablement / talent management guy and said, "Hey, what are your thoughts on what we're doing about this? Because I may have somebody that can help us." So just one of those weird things that you ask a random question, you never know what you get. Because usually when you ask an actor that, they'll tell you about TV shows or movies or books they're working on. That one came right out of left field, and I didn't ask it to everybody, but I asked it to him, and it was kind of timely. So, yeah, like I was saying, Sylvester McCoy did the Parsecs. He got out of there after about the first two awards. He actually won one. I can't remember what the topic was. But that came up, and just a real pro. He rolled with the punches and had a really good time. Tom Smith, as I mentioned, one of our favorite Filk, you know, kind of parody, fun, geeky, nerdy. He did a couple of songs as an intermission partway through. And so we got to see him. I don't know if he recognized me, but the whole ceremony was just a whole lot of fun. People, it was almost like the audience was part of MST3K or something, and the presenters were just loving it. It was funny. So Sunday ended very well. And then I forgot what we did. We just kind of hung out and did some stuff Sunday night. Monday, got up and went to the Waffle House. Sunday, we went down to the Hilton at our favorite little spot and did some people watching and socialized with the usual crew, same people you heard on the last podcast. You know, Mark, the Caffeinated One, was there. Clinton was there. Craig, of course. Kyle showed up. He had to leave a little early. Fuffy Frog was there. Jack and Teresa were there. So, I mean, we got to do some serious, catching up time and had a lot of fun. So Monday morning, some of us who could get our butts out of the bed, whom shall remain anonymous Fluffy Frog, could not get up in time. She said, hey, let's at, what was it, 4 a.m. She said, how about we meet at the Waffle House at 9 a.m.? And I said, sure, we'll be a little late, though, because Lisa was a little slow to get out of bed, and we didn't want to rush her. It's her vacation, after all. It was kind of drizzling again. No, it was raining. Not hard, but it was raining. And we made our way to the Waffle House, and there's Mark sitting there waiting. He said nobody's showed up yet. And then Steve Rickenberg came in, and after a while we had, you know, 6 or 7 or 8 people. Jack and Teresa showed up. And halfway through breakfast, we get this text, and Fluffy Frog says, you know, holy gee, I slipped through 4 alarms, and it was like 10 a.m. So she eventually pulled herself together and came over to the Waffle House next door, and we had a really good time. Again, just hanging out with friends was a whole lot of fun. And that was more fun than seeing the celebrities. You know, that's great, but just spending a weekend, spending some time with your friends is excellent. That's what it was all about. After the Waffle House, we went back to pack, got our stuff all together, and then headed to the airport. We were slightly early, but I'd rather have that than slightly late. And then, of course, our flight was delayed by about 45 minutes. So not a world of hurt, especially because it's the direct flight from Atlanta to Appleton. The flight I love, I look forward to that every year. It's one of the few direct flights that I can get anywhere without going to Detroit or Minneapolis or Chicago, in which case I'd probably drive. Well, not Detroit, but I'd probably drive to the other two if that was where I was headed. And you know, it's one more little reason why I like Delta over United. Those are the two main services here. So we got back, and it felt like autumn. Man, it was like 65 degrees, and you could had that autumn smell in the air. When we left, it was high 80s and high humidity. And this system moved through, and it feels like back-to-school weather. So now Lisa is back to school. She's officially a senior. Dropped her off this morning. She has class at 7 a.m. Talk about crazy. So I don't know why they didn't just run the classes an hour later instead of starting them an hour earlier. But it is what it is, and she'll soldier through it. So that's my Dragon Con wrap-up. Thank you for listening. Thank you for participating in all the dog days of podcasting. Like many others, I will be shooting one of these out on and off. If you want, subscribe to the feed on the Freestyle site, or of course it is in iTunes. You can find me at chuckchat.com. And all my personal goodies about professional and hobbies and interests and whatnot is at chucktomasi.com. Thank you, everybody who made it to Dragon Con. It's likely I will be bringing a friend from Appleton next year. That reminds me, I got to start looking at booking a room. Because if you wait for the convention dates, you'll probably not get a room, as I found out once upon a time. So, as a Starwood preferred guest, I think it's time I exercise that muscle. I'm going to write myself down a reminder right now to get that done this week. Till next time, which I hope is soon, 101.